obviously the game of the week and arguably the game of the season. And if you didn't like the LSU-Alabama game because you didn't like defense, you shouldn't have that problem when Stanford and Oregon take the field this Saturday. Three of the last four games between these two teams have had 80-plus points of scoring. Five of the last six have gone over 60 points of scoring. So we should see plenty of scoring in this one. A very exciting game. I'm obviously, as a fan of the Pac-12 and of both of these teams, excited to see it. What are you thinking right now on this game?
I mean, it's just a classic power versus speed game. It's the same story as it is every year with these two teams. You know, Oregon has won 18 straight conference games dating back to 2 years ago when they lost this game to Stanford on the farm. They gave up 51 points in that one. And the Ducks have never beaten a top five team on the road. Stanford comes in with the longest winning streak in the country. And yet, there are question marks on both sides for this game. As good as these teams have been, they don't come into this game without plenty of people wondering, for example, for Oregon, how is Darren Thomas going to play? I mean, what's his role in this game going to be? Since he got hurt against Arizona State, he really hasn't been the same. Last week, he was solid, looked like he was starting to get back to his style of play, but he wasn't asked to do that much. He went 13 of 25, 169 yards and a touchdown, and really relied on the resurgence of LaMichael James to carry the load. And for Stanford, how are they going to deal with the speed and the one-on-one matchups in space against Oregon? They failed that task miserably for the final three quarters of last year's game, getting outscored 49-10 at Autzen. Will they be better this year without Shane Scove? And again, I seemingly ask this every week, but will the injury to Shane Scove finally matter in a game?
And of course, the injury last week to Chris Owusu. It looks like Levine Toilolo is going to play after leaving the last week's game with an injury, but Owusu won't. And that's just one less weapon after they lost Zach Ertz the week before. It's tough to go up against a team like Oregon at less than 100%, and you're missing two of your best players on offense and your best player on defense. Extremely tall task. Throughout the week, before we came on the air here, we were kind of talking about how both of us think that Oregon's going to win this game. I don't know about you, but I've actually done a 180 on that. I've come back around, and I actually think Stanford is going to win this game. And part of that is whether or not it is going to catch up to them on defense that Shane Scove is out, because this Stanford team, to this point in the season, is third in the nation against the rush, behind only Alabama and LSU. And they faced some pretty darn good rushing teams in the Pac-12. They're not going to hold Oregon to 79 rushing yards. That goes without saying. But if they can even slow them down a little bit and force Darren Thomas to make plays, I don't know that he will make those plays. And I do think that Stanford will make those plays on offense.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Stanford is a legitimate top 20 defense overall. Certainly they've been great against the run. You know, the question's going to be with the Ducks rushing attack back to full speed, because when LaMichael James is back to full speed, your entire offense is back to full speed. You match that with the fact that Barner and Thomas, the backups, in his absence, in LaMichael James' absence, they were playing at an extremely high level. Yep. So you have three very difficult backs to deal with, and they play a style that kind of goes against why Stanford has become third in the country in rush defense. They do it in space. They do it one-on-one. And that's going to be the question that Stanford has to answer this week. They didn't answer it very well last year. The safety, a starting safety for Stanford, Michael Thomas, who's been a big part of their defense, he said straight up, right now everyone's not playing well together. Guys are playing well, but we're not playing well together. And the thing that I think strikes me about that statement and why he said it is to beat Oregon and to play well against an Oregon offense, your entire defense has to be completely in sync. You can't have one or two standout players. everyone has to be playing on the same page.
Everybody has to be swarming the ball. Everybody has to be focused. Absolutely.
If they're not up to that task at home in an environment that has improved, but it's not the hardest place to play on the road, I certainly think that the farm will be rocking a little bit. But this is Stanford. This is still a home field advantage that leaves a lot to be desired. So will this defense be up to the task of staying one-on-one in space with all of this speed? And I think they're thinking the same thing right now.
Yeah, speed versus power often goes the way of speed because, you know, a power team can look slow if you get to the outside on them. And that's obviously a concern. I'd also point out, you know, as much as every time Stanford takes the field, you can say Andrew Luck is the best player on the field, it's not by much when LaMichael James is out there.
Right.
I mean, last year, you know, Cam Newton won the Heisman Trophy. Andrew Luck came in second. LaMichael James came in third. If LaMichael James hadn't have suffered that elbow injury, he came into that game, and he'd already in the Cal game, he got injured and missed the entire fourth quarter. He already rushed for 200 yards in that game, his third straight game that he rushed for 200 yards. If he doesn't leave that game with an injury, he's right there in the Heisman conversation. An Oregon win here would arguably make him the favorite. So two great players on both sides of the ball. I actually think, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on this, that it's the other side of the ball. Even with the injuries, Oregon is averaging 149 rushing yards against per game. LSU rushed for 175 yards against them. And as much as Stanford to the layman is known for Andrew Luck and is just known, you know, as a team that can pass the ball or whatever, this is a running team with a powerful set of backs. Another team, they're a lot different than the Oregon stable, but it's a stable full of capable backs. I don't think Oregon can contain this rushing attack. I think where Stanford's power comes into play is on that offensive line where they can push around this athletic defensive line a little bit, control the tempo of the game when they're on offense, and while it won't be a conventional speed type of shootout, I think it is a shootout because I don't know that Oregon gets off the field against this team.
Yeah. There are two reasons that I like Stanford this week. Although I will say, like you, I went back and forth about 15 times
yeah.
on this game. But the two reasons that I like Stanford, even though Oregon forced Andrew Luck to throw two picks last year, which, by the way, it was his only multi-pick game since then, and the second time it's happened in 34 starts. So
wow.
It gives you a good idea of why Oregon won last year. But Stanford is a balanced offense, a truly balanced offense. They throw for 280 yards a game, and they rush for over 220 yards. So if you're the defensive coordinator for Oregon, Nick Aliotti, there is a zero tolerance policy on letting Stanford get into comfortable downs. You cannot do it or you're going to get killed. And I'm not convinced, like you said, that a team that isn't that stout up front right now in the defensive line is going to be able to keep Stanford from doing what they love to do the most, which is gaining about 6 yards on first down. To me, the key to this game is going to be first and third down of when Stanford's offense is on the field. On first down, Stanford loves to gain about 5 to 6 yards, and then their entire playbook opens up. They can run anything, and the playbook is like a dictionary-sized playbook, so that's a lot that they can choose from. And then it becomes a guessing game. The offense averages 5.7 yards a carry, so that's a ton of second and third and shorts that they get into. And, you know, as much as we talk about Andrew Luck being the face of this team, and everybody seems to almost think he's the only player on this team, what about Stephon Taylor?
Incredible season.
He's averaging over 6 yards a game, a carry, and he's run for 900 yards this season. He's probably going to go over 1,000 in this game.
Absolutely.
He's a key reason why not only is Andrew Luck going to benefit from that, but I think that this Stanford team is truly one of the most, if not the most balanced offense in the country. If Oregon can get them into third and long, then you can get the only weakness Andrew Luck has into play here, which is they come after him with 5, 6, 7, maybe even 8 rushers. And the receivers on Stanford, not the tight ends, but just the wide receivers, they're not the best unit in the country. So if you can get Andrew Luck into 3rd and 10, 3rd and 12, and you match up one-on-one with their receivers,
especially
and bring
with the Owusu out,
yeah, bring a lot of heat Owusu's not playing, then maybe you have a chance, especially since, you know, as they call it, Tree's company with Ertz, Fleener, and Tuilolo. If, you know, with Ertz being out, that's a huge part of what Stanford likes to do on second and third and short. But I just don't know if Oregon has the personnel to stop them from getting into very comfortable and manageable downs.
Yeah, you can't say enough about the Zach Ertz injury and even Levine Tuilolo being less than 100%, because, you know, when Zach Ertz went down, you were in my ear about it, how big of an injury that was. Yeah, and as I started to research it, you know, Stanford runs about 25 to 30% of their plays are out of that triple tight end formation. So, you know, if you're running 1.5 tight ends out of your triple tight end formation, that is a big deal. I just think that the running game is going to be able to control the tempo of this game. If it doesn't, then you're right. If Oregon can get into their comfort zone on defense, which is swarming and letting that speed kill, sending a lot of guys, playing zone, then Stanford could get into some trouble. But I don't think so. I think Stanford's going to control the tempo running the ball, and then, God forbid you start cheating run, you know, good luck against Andrew Luck there, regardless of the receiving corps.
Nick Aliotti's one of the best defensive coordinators in the country at dialing up third down blitzes.
Yep.
But it has to be on third and long for him to be able to do that. And I like USC's personnel on the defensive line more than I like this Oregon team. And Stanford found a way to run the ball against that team. And if they can run it against USC with their defensive line, I think they can do the same thing against Oregon. And it's the only reason that I'm picking Stanford, because there is a lot to like about the one-on-one matchups that could happen in this game for Oregon. The speed is there. I still think that what they did last year, even on the road, could happen again, where they're getting guys in space. But I think that Stanford, this is where we talked about wanting one of the most meaningless stats in football, as I said about it last week, which is time of possession. But this is one of those games where time of possession may come in handy for Stanford. They average about 33 minutes of possession to Oregon's 23:52. That extra 10 minutes of being able to control the ball and run it with Oregon on the sideline actually could be good.
In this game, they are going to win the time of possession battle. And like you said, it could factor in. Now, you just said it's the only reason you're taking Stanford. Did you mean it's the only reason you're leaning Stanford, or are you with me on Stanford now?
What I think in this
because
game...
Because, like you said, I could go back and forth. If we recorded this podcast 6 hours ago, we might have both been on Oregon, so...
The injury to Ertz, as big as it is, because that is 30% of their playbook, and they, unlike any other team in the country, can use three tight ends and do things that no one's seen with them. But... without Ertz, they can still run the ball, I think, against this Oregon defense. And that, mixed in with Andrew Luck being able to get into his comfort plays in passing and that huge playbook that they have available to them, is the reason that I think they have enough to persevere. But, man, this is one of those games that could be a true shootout like we've been accustomed to with these teams.
Apologize for putting words in your mouth saying you were on Oregon. Another thing you have to mention here about Stanford, the revenge factor is huge. I mean, that game... in Eugene, they jump out to the big lead early, and if they hold on to it, it's Stanford in the national championship last year. That was Stanford's only loss, and that's going to be fresh on their mind. A lot of returning players on this team that have been licking their chops waiting for this Oregon team, and that definitely factors in. I'd also like to point out that you're right, the farm isn't the most dangerous road environment in the world, but Oregon is not the same team on the road. And it doesn't matter if it's a neutral field or if they just played in a backyard. They feed off of that crowd in Eugene like nobody's business. And even if it's not the road crowd getting in their ear so much as it's just not having that boost from the home crowd, that does factor in here.
I mean, I think that what you heard from Michael Thomas, the safety, I think those words are exactly why Stanford is viewing this as a revenge game, because they really talked all week about how important it is to play better defense. They're ranked third against the run, and they don't think they're playing very well, and I think they're using all of this as motivation that if we don't get it together, if we don't play our best game of the season, we're not going to beat this team, and I think that's why they will play their best game of the season.
And and you almost like to hear that, because for some teams, it's more about the swagger. You know, if you heard something like that from an Oregon player, it would kind of feel out of place. But this Stanford team is a blue-collar team. They're going to have to go out there and beat you with gritty football, and you almost like to hear them being down to earth and saying, hey, you know, yeah, we're 9-0, and they're not going to mention the spread, but they've covered the spread in every game. They're doing pretty darn good this season, but they're not going to toot their own horn. They're going to go out there and say, we need to improve, we need to get better. Obviously, we do need to mention, you were mentioning, of course, that Oregon had won 18 straight in the Pac-12. They've won 8 of the last 9 against Stanford. And now Stanford's come a long way since some of those earlier ones. But this Oregon team does have the Stanford team pegged. Stanford has had trouble defending this team, as would be expected with a team with so much speed. So, plenty of reasons to like both of these teams. You got a final score prediction?
Well, it wouldn't surprise me if we saw a similar score to what we saw 2 years ago. I mean, I don't know if it'll be 51-42 or something like that, but I could see this game getting into the 40s, and I think Stanford outlasts them something like 48-44 even.
Yeah, I agree. I think it does get into the 40s, maybe Oregon into the high 30s. I think something along the lines of, say, Stanford 45, Oregon 38, I'll say. But it should be a very entertaining game. And one of those games, a lot like the Alabama-LSU game, I think that if you play it 7 times, it goes to a game 7.
Yeah.
Which, you know, you can't say about all games, but this one really is a coin flip and should be a blast.